As we continue our consideration of the book of James, we should note the connection between verses 13 to 16 that we considered last month and verses 17 to 21 that we'll consider today. A certain ruler asked Jesus, saying, "Good Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good but one, that is God." God only is good, and he is only good, and always good. And it is the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. Though God may test us or try us, we saw that in verses 2 to 12. He never tempts believers to do wrong, verses 13 to 16. And so in verse 17, James tells us about the good gifts of God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You've no doubt noticed that the word gift appears twice in this verse, but there are actually different words in the Greek language. The first word, which is dosis, means the act of giving. The second word, dorema, means the gift itself. So God is the good giver who gives perfect gifts. By the way, just as a little side note, the girl's name, Doris, is related to these Greek words. And Doris actually means gift. So actually, every child is a gift from God. I was reminded of that just this past week. This is personal, but I'll share it with you anyway. A few weeks ago, we received the word that one of my cousins in the Netherlands had a second grandchild. About 3 years ago, they had a boy, Aiden, and now a second grandchild was born. So, Rowan, not very Dutch names, by the way. And we sent them, you know, a congratulations card and a small gift. And we just got a reply back from my cousin. And it was interesting. They usually write in Dutch, but this time they actually wrote in English. And I want to read part of what they wrote. So, we think we are blessed with these beautiful gifts. Fits perfectly with what we are talking about today. We think we are blessed with these beautiful gifts. So even my cousin realized that children, grandchildren, are a gift from God and are a blessing. Now, there's another word that is used twice in verse 17, and that is the word every. All right? So, the word every tells us that God is not only owner of some of our blessings, or just the great blessings, but that he is the author of all of them, for every blessing, every good gift, every perfect gift. So we see that. And, you know, God is a great giver. He never charges us for a single blessing, whether it's natural or spiritual. And I want you to think with me about some of God's gifts. First gift we should mention is salvation. eternal life. Remember, as the apostle writes in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, it is the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. So God is a good gift. And that leads, the gift of God, the goodness of God, leads to repentance. For the gift of God, all right? For God so loved the world that he gave. If he gives, then it's a gift. But he loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then we can mention Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. Now, we don't like to talk about death. We don't like to talk about sin. But it's a necessary subject that we need to realize. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm a sinner. You are a sinner. We're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So don't ever forget the fact that we are sinners. So here, the Word of God tells us the wage of sin is death. But, don't you love that little word, but? Because you know there's going to be a major change. For the wage of sin is death. But, the gift of God. There's another gift that is mentioned. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the gift of God. Do you have eternal life? If you don't, come, confess your sins to God. Tell him you're sorry. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to save you. And then, have you thanked him for the gift of eternal life? You know, this is November. The Americans have Thanksgiving Day, fourth Thursday in November. It's always very clear when. Unfortunately, I call Thanksgiving the forgotten holiday. Because when I first went to America 65 years ago, people would close everything down. They would go to church on Thanksgiving Day. But today, no. America has changed a great deal in those last 65 years. So today, Thanksgiving, just a day to eat turkey. And that's about it. People don't go to church anymore. Sad. But America has changed. I won't go into that, but we don't have time. But my question comes back. Are you saved? And do you thank God for what he's done for you? Salvation. Secondly, forgiveness of sins. Have you thanked him for that gift? Think of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you and me. God has forgiven us. Thank him. And note Matthew 6 verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So thank him for forgiveness of sins. Thank him for the Bible, the gift of God. Thank God for his word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that is, spiritually mature, not sinlessly perfect, and thoroughly or thoroughly furnished or equipped unto all good works. So thank him for the Bible. That's another gift. He's given us His Word and answered prayer. Have you thanked Him for answered prayer? You know, we pray, but do you thank God when He answers? Another gift, Hope Bible Presbyterian Church. Thank the Lord for raising up Hope Church nearly 40 years ago. You're getting ready to celebrate your 40th anniversary in May next year. You know, are you interested? There's a place to serve the Lord, as it's mentioned in the bulletin. But thank God for raising up Hope Church. Thank Him for Pastor Key's faithful ministry about 27 years. That's a long time. He was pastor a lot longer of Hope Church than I ever was, like twice as long. So thank Him. But do you thank the Lord? And are you praying that the Lord will provide the man of His choice to become the new pastor of Hope Church? You need a pastor. You need a shepherd of the flock who looks after you day by day. I know we have somebody preaching every week. You know, Reverend Bagus last week. By the way, I had a text from him early this morning saying that he's praying for me as I'm preaching today. So he remembers from the bulletin that announced I would be speaking. So he's a very kind man. So I texted him back this morning and thanked him. But you know, we need to pray. It's not easy to find a pastor for a church. But God knows. Pray that He will provide. Well, there's a lot of other things we can remember as gifts from God. Our families, our homes, our jobs, you know. Just one note about jobs. We have a tendency, you know, I'm pretty clever. I can do my job. And I want you to know Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. Don't think you're so clever and you earn lots of money. No, it is He, it is God who gives you the power, the strength, the wisdom to earn your paycheck every month. So thank God. So thank Him for all those gifts. We have much for which to be thankful. But I wonder, do we thank the Lord often enough? You'll have to answer that question yourself. Now, 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It is from above. That's another way of saying from heaven. And so from heaven it is from God Himself. God is called the Father of lights. It tells us that He's the creator of the sun, the moon, and the stars. As we read in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 16, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. So it's all from God. So the sun gives its light to the earth. You know, at 12 noon, that's the brightest light. Then at twilight, it becomes dim. At night, there's no light from the sun at all. But even though there may be different times of day, different amounts of light, God does not change. There is no variableness or variation with Him. God never changes. He says, I am the Lord. I change not, in the book of Malachi, last book in the Old Testament. So, So even though there may be shadow on earth, the sun is still shining brightly. With God, there is no shadow, only light. With whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. So that brings us to verse 18, which talks about the Word of God. Of His own will begot He us with the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So verse 18 is a continuation of the thought of verse 17. So here it is, the good gift of the new birth, of His own will. If the Lord had not willed to save us, we would never be saved. Salvation is of the Lord. The book of Jonah, chapter 2 and verse 9. Very clear. Salvation is of the Lord. And we need to remember that. So God is good. He provides. He begat us. He did the work. Not we ourselves. Of His own will begat He us. And that is with the word of truth. See, James had a high regard for Scripture. He calls it the word of truth. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Every word of the Bible is truth. From Genesis 1:1 to the last verse in the book of Revelation. And because it is truth, let us believe every part of it. And not only let us believe every part of it, but let us obey every part of it. Believe and obey the word of truth. Now in the Old Testament, the first fruits of the harvest and the firstborn of man and domestic animals were to be presented to the Lord. Exodus 23, verse 19, "The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring unto the house of the Lord thy God." And then Exodus 13, the first two verses. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine, says the Lord." So this is an admission that it belonged to the Lord. And similarly, when a person is born again, he belongs to the Lord. So once we're born again, once we become Christians, we belong to God. Now from there we go to verses 19 to 21, the last three verses there. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." So we begin with swift and slow. So, being children of God, they're called brethren. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren." So these are fellow believers. So as children of God, we should manifest a spirit similar to that of His only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Be swift. Be quick to hear. Be quick to hear the Word of God. Be willing to listen, not only to what God has to say, but be willing also to listen what other people have to say. Every story has two sides. And the book of Proverbs tells us, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him." So listen to the other side. One commentator says this, and I quote, "Most of us are not naturally quick to listen, but we can train ourselves to be better listeners. Good listening is active. It engages with the speaker. It understands the speaker's perspective, even if we disagree. When people feel hurt, they're more willing to listen to our side. Being quick to listen actually opens the door to greater communication, because listening shows respect. And when people feel respected, they are more likely to return that respect and listen to us. It's important for us to be quick to listen and slow to speak. God's word always shows us the best way. And when we follow it, when we follow God's word, we are blessed. So be swift, be quick to hear, and be slow to speak. A wise man is slow to speak. He will let others talk away, but he will not speak until he is sure that he has something worthwhile to say." You know, listen to these verses in Proverbs chapter 17, 27 and 28. "He that has knowledge spareth his words." Spareth his words. In other words, he holds his mouth closed. "And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." I remember once attending a meeting of church leaders. And a lot of people had their say. I think that. And one man that I highly respect, he just sat there and listened. And when everybody had pretty much had their say, he said, "So let me summarize what you have said." And he summarized, and he said, "Therefore, we should." And he gave the solution to the problem, and it passed unanimously. So listen. Be slow to speak, but be quick to listen. And be slow to wrath, it also says. All right? Last three words there in verse 19. Slow to wrath. That is, have a calm temper. "He that is slow to wrath is of a great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly," in Proverbs 14. And Proverbs 16, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." So be slow to wrath. As it says in verse 20, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." That tells us that the wrath of man, or anger, does not in any way help the cause of God. So watch what you say and when you say it. So we begin by swift and slow. And then verse 21, "Filthiness out and the word in." Word with a capital W, the word of God. "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." To lay apart means to lay aside, to put off, to cast away. And Christians are to lay apart all filthiness, all dirt. And we're reminded of Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So be aware of our hearts. You know, a couple of months ago I mentioned how I had to memorize many Bible verses. And one of those was Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then we should also note Mark 7, 21, 22, and 23. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murder, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, which is a lawless disrespect or indecent behavior. An evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So we are to put these things off. So don't have anything to do with them. And then it says also, quite an interesting phrase, superfluity of naughtiness. Wow. What does that mean? It's an overflowing of wickedness, a superabundance of evil. So these we are to put aside. Remember, the Word of God cannot work freely to a soul that indulges in sin. So we are to put these things aside, put them away. And the engrafted word, as we read also here in verse 21, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. So the engrafted word is the implanted message of the gospel. The word is to be received with meekness. We are to receive the word humbly and with a submissive spirit. We must let the word teach us, mold us, correct us, lead us. The phrase able to save your souls points out the inherent efficacy of the gospel, which they have already accepted. So as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to put off the old man with his deeds, and we are to put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, righteousness, and true holiness after the image of God. You know, note Colossians 3, verses 9 and 10. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. And note also Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It's almost as if you are getting dressed properly. You know, you take your old clothes off. They're dirty. They go in the wash. You take your shower and you put on clean clothes. All right? So, you put off the old man and you put on the new man, which is created in Christ Jesus after righteousness and true holiness. Now, one question. How can we learn more about that? Well, there's the church weekly Bible study on Wednesdays. I've noticed, looking at the attendance figure and the Wednesday Bible study attendance, that only about 15% of the congregation is present at the Wednesday Bible study. That should be a larger percentage, but it's right now about 15%. But there's also the Ladies' Fellowship Bible study. So there are other opportunities. So maybe some that don't come on Wednesday, go there. There are the Joy, Maranatha, and Pilgrim Bible studies. There are others as well. There's for the younger ones, the Sparks. There's the YF. There's the Adult Fellowship Group. My question, do you attend one or more of these Bible studies? And do you really participate in them? Or do you just sit there and you're falling asleep? Or are you actively participating in discussions? Don't be like the high school students I read about. A few years ago, a test of Bible knowledge was given to five classes of high school students. I don't know in what country, by the way. But most of the students failed the exam completely. Some were so confused, they thought Sodom and Gomorrah were lovers. I hope you know they are cities in the Bible. All right? Or they thought that the four Gospels were written by Matthew, Mark, Luther, and John. Not quite. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, yes. But Luther, no. All right? Others said that Eve was created from an apple. By the way, the word apple is not mentioned in Genesis chapter 1 at all. It talks about the fruit, but it doesn't say it was an apple. All right? So, some said that the stories that Jesus used in teaching, you know the stories, the parables, that they call them parodies. More than 80% of the pupils could not complete such familiar quotations as, many are called, but few are blank. Can you complete it? Many are called, but few are chosen. Or, a soft answer turneth away blank. A soft answer turneth away wrath. All right? But they didn't know. So, attend the Bible studies and learn to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to add something else here too. Dwight Moody, 1837-1899, well-known American evangelist, founder of Moody Bible Institute and other institutions as well. The family doctor, GP, that we had when my wife and I were first married, studied at a school that was started by Moody. So it was not a theological college, but it was just a school. But he started it. Now, Moody says this, I prayed for faith and thought that someday faith would come down and strike me like lightning. But faith did not seem to come. And Moody says, one day I read Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Moody says, I had closed my Bible and prayed for faith. I now opened my Bible and began to study. And faith has been growing ever since. So, if you want your faith to grow, attend the Bible studies. Read the Bible. Have you ever read through the whole Bible? If you haven't, you know, I was talking one time to Pastor White. Some of you remember Pastor White. You know, and he said he reads the Old Testament every year and the New Testament twice a year. Good practice to follow. You know, read the Bible. Open the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, Moody opened his Bible, began to study, and faith was growing ever since. So if you want your faith to grow, read the Bible. Now, let me conclude by reminding you of what the Apostle Paul writes in his second letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 9 and verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Two questions come to mind immediately. What does unspeakable mean? And what is the unspeakable gift? Now, the word unspeakable suggests that this gift is beyond words, beyond human comprehension, beyond anything that can be compared to it. Synonyms are other words that are used: immeasurable, indescribable, too wonderful for words, and inexpressible. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, for his gift that is too wonderful for words. What is that gift? The gift is Jesus Christ himself, who through his sacrificial death on the cross offers salvation and eternal life to all who believe in him. Yes, the Father of lights has given us many gifts. Let us thank and praise him for his many and bountiful blessings. And let us make use of the enemy of many opportunities that he has given us to study his holy, inspired, and infallible word. May God help us to grow in faith and to become more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the many gifts from the Father of lights. And Lord, may we, first of all, receive the gift of eternal life. And Father, if there be any here today who has not yet received that gift, it's my prayer that you would work in their hearts, that even they might confess their sins unto thee and ask Christ to save them. And Father, help all of us to grow in faith, to become more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through our study of thy holy, inspired, and infallible word, the Holy Bible. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.